and welcome to the Trust Your Body Project. Trust Your Body Project is a podcast and social media movement designed to help you heal, eat, and create space for the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Whitney Catalano. I'm an anti-diet, health at every size registered dietitian, helping you stop dieting, make peace with your body, and take the power back from your inner bully. Welcome to episode number 21. On today's episode, we are talking about 5 tips to develop a healthy relationship with exercise. I will probably have a shorter title for this, but that's what I'm calling it right now. So welcome to the podcast. I was inspired to do this topic because this week I've been building a lot of furniture again in my new place, which has been awesome. And I just had a really busy week with the Trust Your Body Challenge and then leading into the Club TYB launch, which, by the way, welcome to all the Club TYB members. If you are wondering about Club TYB, you're like, what is this membership site that I barely talked about? This launch that I just did was a beta launch. I'm going to give it a couple months to work out the kinks, finalize it, you know, keep the overwhelm at a minimum for myself while I work out all the issues. And then I will be opening up enrollment probably for long-term enrollment, which is exciting. So if you're interested in that, please go to my website or go to www.trustyourbodyproject.com, which is not my website. It's the website for Club TYB, and you can sign up to have your email in a list that will confirm that you are notified when Club TYB opens up again. So I will give a little more warning when it does open up, but yeah, that's the deal on that right now. But yeah, so I was inspired to talk about exercise today because this week I had this moment where, and I talked about this on my Instagram stories, I didn't really go to the gym this week. I was pretty tired. I don't love the gyms around me. Like, that I'm a member of LA Fitness. I don't love the locations that are closest to me. So I'm thinking of getting a new gym. But ultimately, you know, I really like going to the gym. It's a nice way for me to get a little movement in, get away from a screen, but I have total control over how long I stay because I really don't like to stay that long. Our classes, I'm still working on my relationship with our classes because they were such a chore for so long for me. So, you know, this is a long process. So if you're ever like, oh wow, she's so healed, like, I'm still working on things too. And I'm allowing myself to go really, really slow around this because I really want to develop lifelong habits. And so this is going to be a slower journey for me. But the gym is a place where I've really put in a lot of effort to develop a healthy relationship with working out at the gym because I really like it and I really wanted to make that a priority. And, you know, one of the things that I laughed about this week was that I spent a whole day, like, I hadn't gone to the gym in a few days, which is fine. I don't guilt myself for it. But I did have this moment of like, oh, I should go. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. And then I didn't because I don't like to listen to that voice, which we'll talk about a little more in later in this episode. But I spent the whole day, you know, running boxes back and forth between my car, like running boxes up and down stairs, carrying furniture, building furniture, to the point that I literally broke a sweat doing all of this stuff around my apartment because it's a lot of work. Like, I'm currently moving all of my books in. And in case you were wondering whether or not I'm a book hoarder, yes, I am. Hi, nice to meet you like this. But yeah, so I was running books up and down stairs and furniture and stuff like that. And then I went to the gym the next day and I literally only went for 10 minutes because some days that's just what happens. And I laughed to myself because I was like, I can't believe that just because I go to the gym, even if it's only for 10 minutes and I barely break a sweat, I consider that, you know, exercising my body. And yet yesterday, diet culture voice that I don't listen to, like I said, was trying to convince me that I should feel bad that I haven't worked out, even though I did way more physical activity yesterday just moving into my apartment. It was just so silly because I was like, oh my gosh, this is such an example of how diet culture voice still sometimes creates these arbitrary rules that make no sense and are not, you know, logical at all. And yet if you don't question them, you don't take that extra second to be like, wait, where is this coming from? And is it even true? Then we end up believing them. And like, you know, you're potentially putting yourself in a position where you might feel bad over something that you absolutely should not feel bad about anyway. You know what I mean? So it's like, I hope that made sense. But yeah, basically I just wanted to talk about exercise and what it means to develop a healthy relationship with exercise. And this is for people who both have a history of over-exercising and have a history of exercise was punishment. And so now you have like a really strong aversion to exercise. You don't want to go, which was me. I was never an over-exerciser. I definitely had a strong aversion to exercising. So my version of the diet culture voice, which I'm still working on, you know, not listening to. I mean, I don't really listen to it, but it still pops up. You know what I'm saying? So my version is always like, oh, you should go. And then, so I have to actively work against that. So we're going to be talking about that, but these tips are helpful for both sides of the coin. And I hope this helps you on your journey. But before we get into that, this podcast is not brought to you by anyone, but it could be. So keep sharing this podcast with your friends and family so we can get that download count up and I can get some sponsorships. That would be cool. Please, please, please leave a review on Apple Podcast. Thank you to C Pyle. I kind of feel like I might have thanked you already, but hopefully I didn't. Thank you to C Pyle and thank you to Nkline8. These reviews are very, very nice. I really appreciate it. If you are interested in working with me, like I said in the last episode, I will be changing the structure of my clarity calls. So if you want to book a one-on-one call with me, you're going to have to apply first, and then I will reach out to schedule a one-on-one call. And once we have a call scheduled, you have to let me know within 24 hours if you cannot make the call. This, again, had a few more no-shows this week, which honestly is just a bummer because that is time that I could be spending working on this podcast or, you know, creating content on social media or, you know, building furniture, which isn't relevant to you whatsoever. But yeah, so that's what I'm gonna have to do. It is sad for me to kind of see this phase end where that was like my gift to you, that you could book a call, you know, no matter where you are or whatever. But yeah, I just can't, you know, keep these hours open if, you know, no shows happen. And I do understand, like, trust me, I've bailed on my fair share of appointments in the past before I kind of got to this point where I was like, okay, can't keep doing this. So I get it, but I also need to set boundaries around my work and my time because it is precious. So that is how it's going to be going forward. I'm probably not going to change that, like really switch over everything on my website until next week. So you can still get in to book a call with me if that's something that you're looking for. Other than that, I will have an application first and then you can apply to book a call with me. The call will still be free. And again, no requirement to work with me. But if you are interested in healing your relationship with food, really developing, you know, lifelong habits that serve you, that serve your body, but are not restrictive, are not rule-based, and are really there to support everything that you want to do in this world, and get out of your comfort zone a little bit, work on your confidence, maybe start dating or work on your intimacy with your relationship, set boundaries with your friends and family so you're not always having to solve their problems and your own. That seems to be a really big theme. Basically, take the power back from your inner bully and learn to have the power over your thoughts so that you can really create the life and the confidence that you want. That is exactly what I do with my coaching. My coaching is a 6-month experience. It is a full transformation. I do not work with people in single sessions or in shorter time frames than that because you really do need the 6 months to let life happen so that we can handle it together. And I'm holding your hand through the whole process and you're developing a really strong, stable foundation for your new approach to food, your new approach to confidence, your new approach to, you know, existing in this world from a place of really loving yourself, honoring your body, and understanding that not every day is going to be perfect, but you're doing your best. And that's what matters. So if that's something that you're interested in, I hope that made any sense. Head on over to WhinnieCatalano.com/book. That's WhinnieCatalano.com/book. If you're lucky, you'll catch it before it's application first and you can just book a call. And if not, go ahead and apply for a call. And then I will contact you within 24 hours to set up said call. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, quick disclaimer that the information in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Something I talk about a lot on this podcast is mindset. And I talk about it on my Instagram as well. Short-term versus long-term mindset, because diet mentality really instills this short-term mindset. I need to fix my body tomorrow. I need to go on a diet tomorrow. I need to lose weight by this event. I need to do this. I'm panicking and I need to fix it. It's very short-term. It's very instant gratification-based. We get very discouraged immediately because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we get discouraged, but it ultimately sets us up for failure, this kind of short-term, all-or-nothing mentality that diet culture instills in us. And so one of the hardest parts about transitioning into intuitive eating, food freedom, intuitive movement, all of these different things is you really have to develop a long-term mindset and get out of panic mode, out of that crisis, oh my God, I need to fix myself right now mode, and get into the things that I'm experiencing and doing right now, even if they're uncomfortable, even if they feel like they're, you know, they couldn't be more polar opposite from what I actually want in the long term, are ultimately serving the long term. And I have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable right now in order to support me in the long run. And that's exactly what this sort of unconditional permission around food is supposed to teach you. And it's not even intentionally, like, that's not why we do it, to teach you patience. It just happens to teach you a lot of patience and a lot of self-compassion, because unconditional permission after a lifetime of dieting is terrifying and super uncomfortable. And it makes you start to panic of, oh my gosh, X, Y, and Z is happening to my body. Oh my gosh, when will I ever stop eating? Yada, yada, yada. And you're forced to be like, in the long run, I know this is going to heal my relationship with food. So I have to deal with this being uncomfortable right now, because it will go away. It will get better, okay? So we can apply the same short-term to long-term mentality around exercise. And so now we're gonna talk about the 5 tips for healing your relationship with exercise and developing a really balanced, consistent routine around exercise, because there's no question that exercise is good for your health. It is associated with lower risk of disease. It actually helps, you know, improve your biometric markers for different diseases, like your diabetes markers and your cholesterol markers, if those are things that you're concerned about. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your emotional health. Of course, it's good for your physical health in terms of stamina. So I'm a big believer, and I see this all the time in my mom, that one of the keys to continuing to stay strong and to live a vibrant life as we age, as we get older, is to not stop moving, whatever that means to you. So this even applies to people with disabilities. Maybe if your mobility is really limited, in the ways that you are mobile and you have mobility, to continue to work on those things, to continue to move that as much as possible within your ability, right? Because the minute that we stop moving is the minute where the body gets really comfy. And I see this with my mom. She is, I'm not gonna out her age on here because that's not appropriate, but she's so active and all, you know, she skis for 6 months out of the year. And it's just so inspiring because, like, that's what I want for myself, is within my abilities. Obviously, I can't predict the future. I don't know what my body is gonna be able to do or not do as the years go on. None of us can predict the future. But within my abilities, I want to be able to continue moving, to have strength, have stamina as I get older, in whatever that looks like, you know, not attaching myself to a certain outcome, but just being open to constantly making this a priority. That is why it's going to be really important for you to develop a healthy relationship with exercise if that's something that matters to you as well. The way to do that is not through exercise as punishment. It's not through pushing yourself, trying to commit to this routine when you have a really disordered relationship with exercise, or maybe you're healing your relationship with food and exercise has got to be part of that. You have to do things that are uncomfortable in the short term in order to benefit yourself, set you up for success in the long term. So here are the 5 tips. Let's get into it, because I think I've introed this enough, right? The first tip, and this is exactly what I was just talking about, is be willing to take a break. A thing that I hear a lot is, I'm healing my relationship with food right now. I just started intuitive eating. I know that I need to heal my relationship with exercise as well. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. And I don't want to stop going to the gym or going to classes regularly right now because I think it's good for me. And then it's a lot of panic around like, I know I need to heal it, but I still feel myself being obsessive and I still feel myself being restrictive and I can't figure out what is the best answer. And like, don't I want these healthy habits right now? But like, I know I need to heal it. Like, what do I do? Like, isn't it bad to stop exercising? All of that is short-term mentality. If you're having that sort of back and forth, confused, stressed out, panicked dialogue around exercise right now, you need to give yourself a break, to take time off from whatever it is you do for movement, for exercise, and see how you feel, and give yourself some space to be uncomfortable in not having a routine so that you can build up a new one that's separate from dieting. Not everyone has to do this. Not everyone has to take a break. I found that most people have to do this. And maybe you're in a place right now where you gave up dieting, exercise, like it was for me. It was heavily tied into punishment. And you are in this place where you haven't exercised in a really long time. And that was your break. But during that break, you have just felt constantly guilty about it. I would still encourage you to take a break, but instead, this is the difference, right? Working on the guilt. So get rid of that guilt and take a break. While you're taking a break, your action, the thing that you need to be working on and focusing on is not feeling guilty about taking a break. That's the key. It's not, I mean, it is about giving your body rest, right? But it's about giving your mind rest and allowing yourself to get comfortable with the fact that you're not exercising right now because it's in pursuit of a long-term habit or goal. For those of you wondering, like, what if I get comfortable not exercising and then I never want to go back? If you're wondering, but what if I get comfortable not exercising now and I never want to go back? Think about the question that you just asked. Think about this, right? Because obviously exercise is a value to you. Moving your body is a value to you. If you're worried that you're never going to want to go back, it means that it's a value in some capacity, even if right now your diet brain is convincing you that you absolutely hate moving your body and you don't want to do it. You're like, what if I get super comfy and don't ever want to go back? That to me shows, okay, so exercising and having a long-term relationship, a healthy relationship with exercise is important to you. So you will want to go back at some point. Like, your values aren't, you're not just going to wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what? I never want to move my body again because I'm comfy now. Like, ultimately, the things that tend to keep us from doing the things that will serve us is the guilt and shame around it. So we got to tackle the guilt and shame. And if you don't want to exercise, by the way, you don't have to. This is where the body autonomy thing comes in. You could be listening to this and be like, well, what if I just don't want to exercise and I'm fine with that? Okay, then you're fine with that. I can't convince you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm not here to tell you, like, mandate that you have to start exercising. That's not, whatever. Just because it's a value for me doesn't mean it has to be a value for you. Is it good for health? Is it supportive of mental, emotional, and physical health? For sure. But you know what? I also can't tell you what to do. So you need to just make your own decisions around that. But be willing to take a break. And if it's a value to you in the long term, you will go back to it. You're putting this much effort to learn about how to have a healthy relationship with exercise. So you taking a break is not going to change that. Tip number two, you can't heal in the same place you got sick. And I can't take credit for this, right? This is, if you follow Mary's Cup of Tea, she has a YouTube channel and she has this one, sorry, there's a construction if you can hear that in the background, but she has this one video on YouTube where she talks about, you know, she had to take a really long break from the gym while she was healing her relationship with food and while she was healing from her eating disorder because the gym, she was a bodybuilder and the gym is where she got sick. The way that she said that you can't heal in the same place you got sick is so beautiful because I think that that applies to so many other areas of life. The same goes for food. Like, part of me healing my relationship with food was I couldn't cook a lot of the same foods that I used to cook when I was in my aggressive, obsessive dieting phase because they reminded me too much of dieting and it was triggering. And I literally had like a full resistance to it. And it's taken me a very long time to actually enjoy cooking again. And that's okay. It can take a long time. Allow yourself to be a work in progress. It does not have to be all figured out right now. So the same thing with exercise. You can't heal in the same place you got sick. When you are ready to go back to exercise, reintroduce exercise, or maybe continue and start to develop a new relationship, try finding new things and break from the habits, the routines, the locations that you had with your disorder in order to do that. Which brings us to tip number 3, take it one day at a time and try new things. So this is kind of an extension of tip number 2. A lot of times I get questions like, should I aim to exercise 3 days a week? Should I aim to exercise X, Y, and Z? Should I aim to do this and then this and then that? And it's very diety. It reminds me a lot of make a commitment to yourself to go this many times a week for this long and like, no, 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 no. If you're working against like rigidity, if you're trying to break this like obsessive rigidity that you developed in dieting, what you need to do is practice the exact opposite of obsessive rigidity, which is like radically going with the flow. One day at a time, you wake up and you see how you feel that day. And again, I want to emphasize that this advice is for beginner stage of healing your relationship with exercise. This will change over time. You can eventually develop routines around exercise that really serve you and support you mentally so you don't have to think about it. So it becomes second nature. But in the beginning, I highly, highly, highly recommend taking it one day at a time, trying new things, trying things that look fun. One of the things that I did when I was like first healing my relationship with exercise was I did a lot of things. I did like aerial yoga. I did some of these like circus classes where you climb up on this big box structure. That was really cool. I tried rock climbing, which was just awful. Don't recommend it. Although people really like rock climbing, so don't listen to me. I just hate it. I also have acrylics, so bye. You know, I tried running, hated that, will never go back. Do not ever ask me to run. I actually have that on my, like one of my dating app bios. I'm like, don't ever ask me to go on a run because I won't and this will never work. So you know what? Like we don't have to do all these things. But yeah, I tried a lot of different things to see what I liked. I also had to stop doing things that I did like so that in the long term, and this is actually Pilates in particular, Pilates was like really tied up in dieting for me. Not because I used Pilates to lose weight, but just because it happened at the same time. And I had to separate the two before I could start going back to Pilates and have a healthy relationship with it. And now I have such a good relationship with it again. And I really like it. And I got to this point where I really missed it. And I was like, oh, I miss the way my body felt with Pilates. I'm ready to go back. And when I did go back, I was like, this is it. This is why I took a break from it, because I needed to separate the two for the long-term greater good. So taking it one day at a time, trying new things, maybe stopping the things that you do like in order to give yourself a chance to weed through all the chaos, all the voices, all the noise in your head that's telling you like 1,000 different conflicting things. Allow your brain to relax before you make any big decisions, right? Tip number 4, question what you count as movement. And so this is exactly what sparked this whole podcast episode, because even though I'm as far along as I am in my healing my relationship with exercise and healing my, you know, relationship with food, I still have days where my brain compartmentalizes things, especially around exercise. And the minute I hear that diet voice come up being like, you have to do this thing, I, you know, have this tendency to compartmentalize and say, having, you know, exercise only counts if you go to the gym or whatever. And then meanwhile, I'm literally out here breaking a sweat running up downstairs. I just told you I don't run, right? But apparently I run to my car when I'm scared that someone's going to steal all my new cute stuff from Home Goods out of my unlocked car. I will run for that. I will run if I think that suburban moms are going to steal my lamp, my really cute lamp, out of my unlocked car as I'm loading my stuff into my car from Home Goods. Like, that's, I will run for that. I will also run at music festivals. I will run, I guess if someone was chasing me, like, I'd probably run, right? I think I'm more of a hider, to be honest, but I would probably run to hide. I'll run for food sometimes. If it's like really exciting, you know, you have to like run, you have to be like the first one to get something, I might do that. But yeah, that's about it. I think that's the extent of my list of running. Let me know on my Instagram, comment or post a story, post an Instagram story telling me what you'll, if you're not a runner, if you don't like running like I don't, tell me what things that you'd be willing to run and tag me in your stories, because that would be funny. I'd love to see the different things y'all come up with of I will only run for food, or like we'll only run for music festivals and if I think something's being stolen out of my car. That's it. Okay, so question what you count as movement. Sorry, got so sidetracked on that one. Hello, and we're back. Tip number four, it's questioning what you count as movement, reminding yourself that things like cleaning your home counts as movement. It's quite a lot of movement, actually. Cleaning is like really exhausting. Why do we think we never want to do it? It's a lot of work. I like to put on music and dance around the kitchen while I cook because that's really fun for me and puts me in a really good mood. And it's movement. If I've been sitting all day, that is one of my favorite things. Putting on music and dancing as I cook is just so like it loosens the body up. Stretching. So one of the things that I did when I was first healing my relationship with exercise is I would go to the gym and make a point to only stretch, like no lifting weights, no doing anything, unless I really wanted to, right? But on days when I really didn't want to, but I was trying to develop a healthier mindset around exercise, I would go to the gym just to foam roll and stretch because they have foam rollers there and they have places to stretch. And I don't know, I get bored when I stretch at home. And then I just watch TV and like sit on my ground and then I'm like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be stretching. So I would go to the gym, I would stretch for 10 minutes, I would foam roll, and then I would leave. And that was it. And that was honestly such a good way for me to develop more of a routine and a healthy relationship with exercise, because you don't have to go to the gym just to like punish yourself, right? This was proving to myself that I could go just for the sake of like getting away from screens and stretching and moving my body without feeling like I was a failure or feeling guilty for not doing quote enough. And it was so empowering because I was like, wow, that felt really good actually, just to go for 10 minutes and stretch. That's it. And then leave and not feel bad about it. Just move on with your life. You know what I mean? So questioning these things, there is a study that I wanted to share with you today, but I couldn't find it. So I will find it again. But basically it shows how mindset really does make an impact on your body perceiving something as exercise or not. So if you go into like basic household chores thinking like, this is the way that I'm going to move my body today, and I'm just going to really like lean into it, your brain, like your body reacts as if you are doing that. So the brain has a lot of power over how our bodies react, which is awesome. And then the fifth and final tip for healing your relationship with exercise is resisting the obligation voice. So that diet culture voice, and this is the same thing with food, right? That diet culture voice, that voice that's making you feel guilty for not going or making you feel like you have to go or kicking you if you take too many days off or whatever it is, that voice, we need to be doing the exact opposite of that voice at first. So, and I still do this. I still really honor this because it's important to me. It's something that has really helped me heal my relationship with exercise. And so I'm very, very adamant that when I have that obligation voice telling me you have to go to the gym, you haven't been in a couple days, it starts doing the math of like when the last time I went to the gym was, that's when I know I'm not going to the gym because I will not feed that voice. I refuse to feed that voice because that voice, every time I feed it, every time I give it a little something to work with, it grows a little stronger. And I'm trying to weaken that voice and not listen to it. So on those days when I'm like, oh, I should go, like I'm feeling, you know, I haven't gone in a few days, I'm like, nope, I'm not going. If anything, I will just do some dancing here, stretch, like move my body some way, but I'm not going to the gym and feeding that voice and being miserable. Now that I'm this far along in it, I've realized that there's a big difference between the obligation diet culture voice and the I need to go because I'm gonna feel better afterwards, but I'm low energy or whatever today. Those are different voices. The diet culture voice comes from a place of guilt, comes from a place of obligation, of rules, of making myself feel bad if I don't go. The other one, that I'm tired, but I know this will put me in a better mood. I know this will help me show up more for my clients or, you know, just help me get out of the house. That one I do listen to because that one has my best interests in mind. It's the one that's supporting me. It's the one that is like trying to help me out. But I need to emphasize, and I cannot say this enough, it took me a long time to find the difference between those two. And it's okay if you don't know the difference right now. Allow yourself to be messy. Allow yourself to be a work in progress, because that is the only way that you're going to be able to develop this sort of long-term mindset around the things that serve you, is by being okay with not having it figured out right now and not doing everything in your power to try to fix it. Just allowing yourself to be messy, allowing yourself to take breaks, knowing that you have enough trust in yourself, and this is where the trust in your body comes in, right? You trust yourself enough that this is for the long-term good. That voice that's saying, but I don't know if I take a break now, I don't know if I'll ever get back to exercise. How do I know if I'm ever going to be able to whatever? What happens if I take a break now? Am I going to lose all my progress? Am I never going to be able to get it back? That voice that's just questioning everything, that's the voice that doesn't trust you to have your best interests in mind. And that's the voice that we need to deal with. Because at the end of the day, you have to trust that long term, if you continue doing these things in the short term that feel uncomfy, that go against what you think the rules are, in the long term, it will serve you and you will figure it out. I promise you will figure it out. But you got to trust yourself. You got to trust that you're going to figure it out. You also got to trust that if I'm talking right now and you're like, I don't know if I agree, like that wasn't my experience, then let your experience be your experience. Don't take my words as Bible, because again, that's the trap that dieting gets us into, that we turn to these diets to tell us what to do, what to eat, what to think, what to say, what to whatever, right? We turn to these diets that tell us how to feed our bodies, how to move our bodies, and how to think about our bodies. And it erodes our trust every single day. But then I find that people who find my account who are new to this, and maybe who aren't even new to this, who have been on this journey for a while, still turn to me and say, you know, Whitney, tell me the answers. I can give you guides. I can help explain it. I can help tell you what's worked for my clients and what's worked for me. But ultimately, you need to make decisions for you and be okay with those decisions and know that, like, whatever journey you're on right now is exactly the journey you need to be on. And if it doesn't line up with exactly what I've said, but it's serving you and you feel good, that's what matters. So those are my 5 tips, of course, with a caveat at the end that you don't have to listen to any of them, but those are there for you. I hope this gave you some clarity. Again, let me know, you know, post on your Instagram stories that you have listened to this. Let me know what you liked about this episode. Let me know what you didn't. Let me know whatever. Tell your friends, tell your family, but definitely post on Instagram stories and I will repost you onto my stories and with a little, probably a Bitmoji, just being like, hey, or you can tweet at me. So yeah, thank you for all of your support. I've been seeing a ton of people recommending my podcast on Twitter and Instagram lately, and I really, really appreciate all of your support and that you're getting so much out of this. I'm going to be like pretty much live tweeting, and I may even go live on Instagram at least once a week, if that's something you want from me. So tweet at me at Whitney Catalano or like DM me if this is something you want. I'm a huge Big Brother fan. I've talked about this in previous episodes. I'm talking about it again. I kind of want to like be a little bit of a Big Brother fan account this summer. Stop talking about dieting for 2 seconds and talk about the amazing social dynamics at Big Brother, because I love it. I love studying it. It's like the big sociology nerd in me being like, oh my God, these people are in a house for 3 months and they're just with each other and no distractions. Like, what a trip. So if you want me to do that, let me know. And if you don't, unfollow me? I don't know. All right, that's it. I gotta go.
If you are loving the Trust Your Body Project podcast and are ready to dive headfirst into your healing transformation, head on over to whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom to learn more about working with me. whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom.